from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's more than just sports talk. This is The Morning Shift.
I'm in.
Me too.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's 8 a.m. on a beautiful Wednesday morning. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. It's a wake-up call. 404-726-0929. If you want to call in and weigh in on the whipping that Maria just put on Bo and which one Wednesday, or some of the crazy cool Drake London cuts we had earlier, man. That was a lot of fun catching up with him yesterday.
Verbiage is off, but okay.
Verbiage.
I don't know. I thought I did a good job.
I got whipped. I think it was a good contest that came down to the judges' scorecard. And you know what, Maria? That's all me, because you never leave it to the judges.
Listen, I thought that her...
You're just going to blame him.
Her comments about kickers, you know, closers having more pitches and kickers have to do it all at once. I thought that was...
It's a valid point. I made an accurate point as well. You better step up when most of the team doesn't accept you. It's
you
your one
lost
chance.
Me when you said that you don't believe in ghosts, but you believe in spirits. I was like, okay, I'm done. I can't listen to this guy anymore this morning. I had enough of it.
Yeah, well, you lost me when you said that there was a doctor's office that uses cell phones to call their patients.
I still plan on investigating this. Shout out to everybody that's hanging out with us on the X or on the Twix or on the Twitter, whatever you want to call it, Atlanta Falcons
Commander
saying it's hump day. T.A. Wolfhound says, awesome that you're on the radio. You guys made it this morning. And our buddy Sydney Richardson says, love you too. Need more of this. We did our wake-up call. I'm sorry, not our wake-up call. Clocking in live from Bo's truck this morning. So that was that's quite the adventure. Listen, we made it, though. We made it. We walked in the studio at 5:59:30, and we're here, man, having a good day.
Maria, my truck, I try to keep clean. It's a constant struggle. But I have camp truck and the regular season part of my truck where you've traveled like 3 out of 4 weeks.
Right.
The camp version of my truck has like duffel bags and water bottles strewn through it. Like it's everywhere. And so when we thought you might ride, you're almost there, you might ride with us. I was like,
he's like so conscious. I'm like, bro, I got two toddlers in my truck. Yeah, their car seats.
Throw stuff under the seat.
You don't want any of the smoke from my back seat right now. It's a cesspool back there.
I'm sure it's not as bad as some of the cars I've ridden in. So it would have been fine. But I drove myself.
All right, speaking of trucks and what's going on in the truck, let's head out to our boy Larry. Larry! Welcome to the show, buddy. How you doing?
What's happening? How y'all doing? What's going on?
Can't complain.
Good. First of all, Maria, welcome to our little show.
Yeah, there you go.
Appreciate that.
You haven't heard of me before, but I'm on the show too a lot. you know, just because I call in and I talk a lot. But anyway, my wake-up call is for Brother Bo. In a playful way, Brother Bo, you need to get on your job and make sure that we know when the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic is going to be.
Ooh.
I have four people that already said we want tickets. And my boss called me and said, when this charity thing going again? We want to be a part of that again.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got several things going for you, my brother, but
well,
I just...
Larry, here's what I'm going to tell you.
In the business, we call that teeing them up. Go ahead, Bo. Get that infomercial out
there. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I cannot give you an exact date today. But what I would like to tell you is you need to go ahead and tell them it's all happening, and it will be around the same time, okay? Yeah. I can't give everything away because we are in the final kind of little moments of getting the details just like we want them and getting everything lined up, but just plan on having all of those people involved. And it's going to be for, and it will probably, it should, I don't see it how it's not changing. We are still going to have our friends at Pets for Vets as well. I'm excited about it this year as I was last year, but it's happening just, that date will be coming soon. In fact, you will know before we kick off the regular season, you will know the date.
Yeah.
And time.
All right. Let's head out to one of the board members of Mike's Mafia, and he's probably in a truck as well. That's our buddy Minty out there on 285. Minty, I hope you're having a good morning. I hope you're not stuck in traffic out there, man. It's been crazy.
No, I am not. I might have reason around 285, but we have to hold each other accountable in Mike's Mafia.
That's right.
So, Maria, go stand over there with Bo while I talk to Mike for a second. The doctor's office has landlines. We actually have buttons that you press down, dog. How
hey,
did you
man.
Get this? Has it been so long since you've been to the doctor's office? Like, you used to just knocking on somebody's door in the middle of the night and giving them a gold coin and asking for help. Okay, is that what's going on?
Look, man, I'm just saying, that Emory up there is like 2 years old. I don't even think they sell landlines anymore, Minty.
I think on a bigger note, how is it that you two, Bo Morgan and Mike Johnson, don't have the presence of mind to know when you are in the intros of a Stephen King slasher flick? Okay? The lights are off, even the red light is off, and you go and investigate why there's a power outage. Did you see any of the Fowey branch staff out there trying to investigate? But no, you two. You're going to do the investigation. I thought to myself, ain't no brothers with them this morning. There was no brothers with them. Because I would have tapped both of y'all on the back and said, let's get out of here.
That is such a good call, Minty. I absolutely love that, man, because he's right. It did feel like that this morning, man. Those pipes were being pounded. Yeah, ting, ting, ting. And actually, Jersey Mike ended up sending us, he said it was happening a little bit later in the morning. He ended up sending us a video. Maybe we can get that sound on air here in just a second. But he's right, man. We were like, hey, it's really dark over there. Let's go investigate.
Yeah.
What's the thought process there?
Let's find power.
Whose idea was it?
Mine.
Definitely his.
But he went along with it. He was like, okay.
Let's look at the softball field. And of course, I didn't want you to be by yourself, man. I'm like, I'll go with you. I'll ride that wave with you, man. We'll go over there and check it out and investigate. But we didn't even make it inside the guard shack. We just kind of did a U-turn right there where the, you know, where the little arm goes up and down. And we were like, all right, let's head out of here.
Yeah. Well, Brandon Ruth's call was timed perfectly because it was probably the reason that we made it back, like, right in time. But no, look, we're teammates, and we talked about it earlier. You know, we everybody that's involved in this radio station and the show, especially, give each other a lot of crap. But when push comes to shove, we got each other's back. Mike was gonna, if I drop my bag, I'm probably a little bit quicker. He's got a longer stride, but I can.
You go, I'll catch up.
Yeah. I think I would have gotten out of there, and plus Mike would have put up a. He's probably harder to.
Well, we also knew our backup was coming. Maria was, you know, 5 minutes behind us. We knew that, you know, she'd clear anything out.
We're just waiting for her to run somebody over with her car.
I actually was a little scared you guys saw me driving. I was like, wait, did they just see me? Because I was going so fast.
I saw you right here at the roundabout, and I was like, did she just get sideways coming out of the roundabout? Like, whoa, that's impressive.
She drifted all the way back into
the car. Also, is that a Mercedes? Wow.
All right, let's head out to our buddy Derek over in Elwood. Good morning, Derek. I hope you're having a good day, man.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Oh, I can't complain.
I have a question about the Falcons. I want you guys to answer. Which do you want Falcons to be, a high-power offense or a dominant defense? Because they are going to be good.
You know, this is one of the things that I think, Derek, that we've all kind of, and Maria can touch on this as well. I think we've all come to terms with the fact that right now, as we look at it, if you are going to be a playoff team, the blueprint is going to be high-powered offense and a defense that just kind of does enough. Because I don't know if enough people, and I have all the respect in the world for Raheem and Jimmy Lake, Ryan Nielsen did a lot in his 1 year as the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, he made a defense that on paper was really not that great look pretty good. And I think that a lot of people kind of forgot that. And this offense, I think, is, and typically in camp, this is how it goes. Offenses are usually a couple steps ahead. Granted, there's a lot of new pieces coming in, new coaches, new verbiage of things. Everybody calls things differently, etc. But I think this offense is really going to be a step ahead of the defense for sure. And there's way more question marks on the defensive side of the ball for this team. I think if you want to be a playoff team, which I think the Falcons can be with the team that they have, and I will say that again, I think they can be a playoff team. I think it's going to be the offense that gets them there.
The two of the best teams we've seen in Falcons history were the 2012 and 2016 team, and they were both very, very good offenses with, and especially the 12 defense was very opportunistic. All right, they seemed to have a knack for coming up with the big turnover when needed, the big stop when needed, the big intercept sack when needed, because they had Abraham. In 2016, they weren't until the last, I would say, 5 weeks of the regular season or 4 weeks of the regular. After that Chiefs loss, they just hit a stride. And the defense played with more and more and more confidence. Dan Quinn took over the play calling, and they were opportunistic in their own right. You don't, if the Chiefs have shown us anything, you don't have to be a great offense. And the last Chiefs team had a really good defense in the Super Bowl, but the other ones, they weren't a great defense. They were a great offense with an opportunistic defense that was able to get a stop when needed, and they knew their offense was always going to put points on the board. I'll take that all day long.
Yeah, one of those guys that will be designing that offense this year will be offensive coordinator Zach Robinson. We're going to hit a break. We'll talk about him and hear from him on the other side of the break. Maria, you got to go to your big girl job. Thank you so much for riding the wave with us this morning.
Thanks for having me. It was a little chaotic, but I was happy to be here.
Well, now you know where to go tomorrow.
Yeah,
see you tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be back right here tomorrow in this building.
Same
I won't go to Flowery first, I promise.
Same time, same
neither
place.
Will we.
And hopefully we have power in this building when we show up tomorrow. You just never know. The morning shift rolls on. We're here from Zach Robinson on the other side of the break. It's the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
What are the haps?
Start the day the right way with the morning shift.
With Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
All right. All right.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Mike and Squid hanging out with you. Maria. She had to roll up to Flowery Branch for training camp. We've been talking about it all morning. If you guys have been listening for the last 2.5 hours, Bo and I arrived at Flowery Branch this morning to be live from Falcons training camp, and there was no power. So we had to make a couple phone calls and jumped in the truck and headed south on 85 and got right back to Midtown about the time we had to come on air. So we've been rolling with the punches. Maria was kind enough to roll with the punches as well this morning. We gave Maria every opportunity to say, you guys are crazy. I'm not doing this. I'm not driving all the way back to Midtown and back to Flowery Branch, which she's on her way back to right now. But to her credit, yeah, man, she goes, hey, I can run fast. I'm good. Let's roll. I was like, yes.
At one point, I was like, it almost felt like I was telling her not to. But I wasn't trying to do that. I was just like, I just want
no,
you.
No, we're asking a lot. That's
yeah,
all we were trying to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, and
asking a lot.
I just, look, it, this is what we do. This is our burden. Not necessarily a burden, but, you know, like, and this, they have to drive back. You don't feel obligated. But, no, she was a trooper, man. She's like, nah, I'm in this. So she came, and we all made it here. She beat us here. She did have a little bit of a head start. Just want to put that out there.
She gassed you.
Shout out to the guy that decided that he would pull up basically out in
shout
front
out
of me.
The guy going 55 in the express lane.
Yeah, I'm gonna
at 5 a.m.
What did I say? I go, you don't go to the speed limit in the express lane. That's what it means when it says express.
It's not what it means, but it's all good. Look, man, we're gonna talk about Zach Robinson and Kyle Pitts. Zach Robinson touched on Kyle Pitts yesterday. Before we get to that sound, I think you feel the same way I do so far watching Kyle Pitts. Let's move Kirk Cousins aside because I think it's kind of a coin flip if you talk about him. Kyle Pitts, to me, has been the standout of camp through the first 5 days. He's been the guy, especially when you talk about Saturday night at Second Year High School, that really has stood out being way more electric so far in camp than he was last year.
Yeah, he's came out like he's on a mission to prove that all the people that had comments about him, and look, those people were just commenting on what they saw last year. But I think it's really more to the I'm not a bust, and that's not how I'm going to go down. And I don't believe he is either. Look, his rookie year is what it was. The last 2 years, he's been less than 100%, especially because he got hurt during the middle of one, and he had a delivery system that wasn't optimal. And I think he's came out there on the just like I said, on a mission.
Such a polite way to put it.
You look at less than optimal.
He had a delivery system that was less than optimal.
All right, I'll put it this way. Go check out some tweets over the last couple of days from people covering Arizona about how the backup quarterback is performing in practice there. I'll leave it at that. But he had a play yesterday where I believe it was DeMarco Helms. He made look silly. And yeah, and that's how Pitts ran his route. It wasn't the throw. It was, look, the throw was right. The throw was good, but the route was incredible.
Yeah. Well, Zach Robinson talked to the media yesterday, and he said he actually sat down with Kyle Pitts, and he talked about how this could be his best year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the balance between, you know, first Raheem and Kevin Koger and I mean, Kyle was in the building a bunch in the offseason, which was awesome. He's hungry. He wants to, you know, get back to the player that he knows he is. I know injuries played a big part of that too. But Kyle's been great. We're throwing a lot at him. He's handling it really well. But there was definitely some moments where you sit down and you say, hey, how important you're going to be to this offense as a blocker, as a complete tight end, the things that you can do in the pass game. So really pleased with where he's at right now. It's just going to continue to build.
You know, and I think Kyle is showing it. You know, we were at practice Saturday night at Second Year High School, and we saw a play where Kyle made a great catch on the sideline. And I was talking to Dave Archer, who was there that yesterday and was there Saturday night. And I said, I had the perfect vision for the catch. And he goes, yeah. He goes, well, the whole play was awesome. And I was like, what, really? I go, I couldn't see everything. And he goes, yeah, you guys, the vantage point we had, he knew what we were looking at. He goes, well, Kyle's running, I believe it was like a bench route, out route, whatever you want to call it. And Lamon is in coverage, and Lamon kind of gets in his hip pocket, basically creating that divider, so to speak, between the quarterback and Pitts. And so Cousins adjusts to that, and he drops it in. But the way he dropped it in, Kyle was able to go up and get it, right?
Yeah.
And toe touch, boom. And it was just shows the savvy of Kirk Cousins and how well he understands the game and how to play it and how to place the ball there in spots, how good Nate Lamon is,
yeah,
and how Kyle Pitts is that dude.
Yeah.
And he's going to be back to that dude, and he's going to be more evident now that he has another dude, and I mean as in another guy that's that dude on the field throwing the ball to him.
Yeah, and one of the things, just real quick about your Dave Archer's comments, I've heard dropped it in, and I've heard dropped it in the bucket. Dave Archer went a step further, and he goes, he dropped it in the chimney. He dropped it in the chimney.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. Look, he also, Zach Robinson, that is, Falcons OC, also talked about Kyle Pitts. To your point, Bo, against DeMarco Helms yesterday in one-on-ones, Kyle Pitts been standing out in one-on-ones.
Red zone one-on-ones, Kyle looked good, and Kyle Pitts looked good in the red zone one-on-ones. And then the 11-11, you know, we had a decent amount of runs there. We had a, you know, had a couple drops there, you know, when we did throw the football. But I thought the runs looked pretty clean down there. And then, yeah, Kyle in the one-on-ones looked pretty good.
I just love the way that we have seen so far in the 11-on-11s. And we haven't had a chance to talk about this too much. There has been way more A and B gap runs, not cutbacks, like designed A gap runs, than we've ever seen in the last, I mean, since before COVID. Let's just put it that way. And that was so frustrating as a lineman last year watching this team. I mean, it has been covered back and forth, the Jonnu Smith speed sweep from the 2 yard line, but you didn't have A gap runs. We saw them run a lot of duo yesterday with double teams across the board. And having Kyle Pitts as a part of that, man, that's only going to play dividends in the end.
It cracks me up how much it bothered you last year.
I couldn't stand watching it.
People need to realize that you played offensive line. And I say that because I don't know if everyone knows who Mikey P. Johnson is, and that he was an All-American, a national champion, former Atlanta Falcon offensive lineman and tight end, who caught a touchdown against New Orleans Saints in 2012 in New Orleans. All of that said, you are still that guy, and you guys should be there. I mean, I know that y'all can't be, and I don't mean this in a make you feel a certain way, but you guys should be there when they make an A-gap or B-gap run and see the way this dude reacts.
It's been like, said before that you don't play offensive line, you just are an offensive lineman.
Is it kind of like NASCAR? It's a lifestyle?
That's right. It just means more in the SEC?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I'm telling you, when this dude – Mike ain't jumping, like he ain't over on the sidelines doing jumping jacks or anything. But I can tell you what, when he sees an A gap or he got run and the offensive line blocks it to perfection, this dude starts jumping. And I'm like, dude, calm down. Like, don't get us, don't draw attention to us. Come on, man.
I love it.
All right, Dylan. Let's draw attention to me, though, right now.
It's time for a look back
into the mind of Squid Billy.
Hey, he might even talk sports.
This is the Life of Squid on the Morning Shift.
Brought to you by the W Sauce and Status Truck and Trailer Repair. Driven by excellence, building successful partnerships.
That's right, baby. A little W Sauce, a little Bloody Mary mix. Key West style. Get over to the WSauce.com to find the Bloody Mary mix, but I do know you can find the W Sauce, the Fire Shire, the Breakfast Sauce, Breakfast Sauce 2. I saw it in my Kroger near my
Did
house.
You?
Yeah, I took a picture too, because every time I see a bottle of W Sauce in the wild, I take a picture of it. Publix, all the Publixes have them. There are select Krogers and Ace Hardware's. And don't forget my friends at Anthony with Status Truck and Trailer Repair. Big truck, small truck, medium-sized truck. Give my boy Anthony a call. They are the official truck and trailer repair of Squid Nation.
We are the nation!
I'm not going to lie. I have not watched a lot of women's rugby in my life. Don't know why.
Breaking news.
Just haven't. However, when the tweet came across my feed yesterday that read, in all caps, and as the NBC Olympics posted it, a finish you have to see to believe. I watched it probably like six times because Alex Cedric, who I believe, from what Maria told me, went to Life College.
Oh, wow.
Here in Marietta.
Nice. Life University, I believe.
Yeah, Life University. Used to be Life College, I think. Now it's Life University. I don't know. Life. She led the Team USA to their first ever medal for the United States. Rugby sevens is what they call it, on the final play of the game, Mike. And it was, we talked a lot about Tyler Allgeier today. It was Tyler Allgeier-esque because the play, which is so wild, they start a little scrum, and number one for them throws it to her. She kind of makes one girl miss, and then she bowls over a girl, and boom, she houses that thing, like literally the distance of the field. And she does it with style, too, because she gets there. She knows she's right free. And about what would be, I would think, like the four-yard line, she starts leaning, and she does
in the red zone.
That Superman dive, and boom. And then all she has to do is, for the extra, for the conversion, they call it the conversion in rugby, just kick the short kick to get the extra point. I believe it was, I believe this was Australia that they played. That's who it looks like. They are stunned. They're crying. The coach just looking in. So it's really a cool moment. So congratulations to the women's sevens rugby team and Alex Cedric on their first ever bronze medal. I think this is the first time they've ever medaled ever. So really cool. Love to see it.
Yeah, absolutely love to see it. Speaking of loving to see it, other side, we got Jim Duquette, former GM of the New York Mets and now analyst on the MLB Network. He'll break down all things trade deadline. Stick with us on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9.
Yes, it is a lovely morning, isn't it?
More of the Morning Shift
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
.842 here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You're listening to the Morning Shift. Mikey P. Johnson and Squid Billy Bo Morgan hanging out with you on this Wednesday. No, we are not live from Flowery Branch. We are in the Midtown studio. We had to have a hard pivot this morning. Hard pivot this morning.
Pivot.
Yeah, away from Flowery Branch, but we're happy to be hanging out with you. Look, we've been talking a lot of Falcons all day, sprinkling in a little bit of the Atlanta Braves. The trade deadline was yesterday, and that's why we are excited to have on our good buddy Jim Duquette from the MLB Network, former GM of the New York Mets. Jim, look, man, thanks for joining us. Let's start with just a broad reaction because, honestly, one of the busier trade deadlines that I think we've seen in some time.
Yeah, it was. Thanks for having me on again, guys. I think it was 28 total trades just yesterday, you know, and, wow. And while it maybe didn't have necessarily the quality of players moved that we thought, you know, the Tarek Skubal with the Tigers didn't get moved, Garrett Crochet with the White Sox, some of the top guys that were being talked about, like Blake Snell didn't get traded, but there was a ton of action, you know, around it. The prices is what I think I talked to several general managers and they were like, man, it was expensive shopping, you know, at some of maybe the lower priced rental starters that you wouldn't normally expect, like you say Kikuchi in Toronto. The Astros gave up three major leaguers. I think that really took a lot of general managers by surprise.
Well, Jim, when we spoke to you last, you and I came to the decision that what we needed to get in Atlanta was a corner outfielder, maybe another bullpen guy, and maybe starting pitching at the end. But they did that, but I don't think they were really the moves that I expected anyways. Were you surprised that Alex Anthopoulos decided to go back to the well with Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson?
I would say a little bit surprised. You know, it's interesting because you know, that does not happen very often. And you know, you go back to the well. It worked the last time. So you know, and you know those guys, and you know they're going to fit within the clubhouse there. Which, you know, I think Alex does a terrific job of making sure that, you know, that's an important thing. Some GMs don't. But he, you know, character, makeup, chemistry, that matters in, you know, in all this too. So, you know, I thought when it was all said and done, if you go and look at a lot of the different power hitters that were available, Soler might have been the best one. So they got the best one there. You know, Jackson, in terms of they don't need a back end necessarily. Well, they don't need a closer, you know, and I think a depth piece in that, you know, seventh and eighth inning, I think was, you know, a perfect fit. The prices for other guys was so high that I thought that, you know, it was a modest gain in the bullpen area there for the Braves, but it was a quality one because you know how to use Jackson in those important roles.
Yeah, and listen, I think that everybody is excited to have Jorge Soler back in the fold because of what he did a couple of years ago. I do wish that the Braves had made another move, but I want to ask you, yeah. And at least in your own personal experience, Jim, when you come down to the deadline, how hard is it to make the decision between being buyers and being sellers, or just being a team that kind of sits in the middle and waits for an opportunity to become? Because the Braves, while they are good, they have a lot of question marks, and I just wonder what Alex Anthopoulos' kind of thought process has been lately.
Yeah, well, I think that they're a team that hasn't performed up to the expectation. So there's a level of this that I think has to come from within, right? You guys that have underachieved to this point. Obviously, injuries play a role in that too, and some of these guys are hopefully going to come back from the injuries. But I think that they're clearly a postseason team, or should be a postseason team. It'd be it'd be big news if they fall out of it. And so I think that's the difficult part. If you're in his shoes, is like, it's a pretty well fleshed out roster that you don't normally have to, make a lot of additions to, or shouldn't have to. I think you're really relying on those guys and what they've done in the past for you. So there's a little bit of balance there is my point. You could bring in other guys, but how much are they going to play over the regulars? How much should they play? It becomes one of those type things. It's, the guy that sometimes is better than the guy that you're bringing in.
Well, I am curious too, and I want to follow up on that a little bit, because we've seen Alex Anthopoulos not only go back to the well once or twice, but a handful of times when you talk about Luke Jackson, sure, and Jorge Soler. But not only that, added Eddie Rosario after he got let go on waivers. You signed Duvall during training camp when you didn't think he'd be a part of this team. Right. I mean, is there a point where Alex Anthopoulos is just going with a level of comfortability and guys that he knows not going to cost a ton?
Well, there is probably some of that too. I think the cost acquisitions, whether it's money or whether it's your assets, and the Braves do a great job of adding guys from their system, but even that's been taxed a little bit here lately. I think that's a big part of this, is how much do you want to spend in terms of your prospects for kind of that short-term rental gain, right? That I think most GMs, when I talk to them around the sport, the quality was lacking. You were being asked to give up. And if you look around the sport, by the way, too, there's no real top 100 prospects that were traded. And I think that was more a function of the quality that was available at the deadline. So, part of that is, all right, what can you get for, for the prices that are out there being asked, and, how much of a significant difference can they make? So I think that's where Alex and some of the other kind of GMs, it's hard to show discipline at the deadline when you're not playing up to expectation, but I didn't see, outside of Soler, I didn't think there was an impactful guy out there. I mean, Jazz Chisholm is another guy. He may have fit there with Atlanta too. Those were the two, I think, top position players that got moves. And so, Atlanta got one of them.
Jim Duquette, MLB analyst, joining us here on the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Jim, I want to ask you, kind of the projection is that Alex said yesterday, look, Soler is under contract for two more years, and it seems like it's going to be a crowded outfield. But Alex talked about the depth and saying, look, we have no problem having a depth piece. Is that move a move that's easier made because Acuna is coming back from injury? You know that he is going to need days off, but also team control and how the contract is somewhat cheap with Jared Kelnick as well?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think, I talk about balance a lot, especially with them. I think, trying to find that offensive piece sometimes is difficult on the free agent market. So, yeah, they went and got one here at the trade market. It's not just he helps you this year. He helps you beyond this. There isn't a lot of guys that you could control besides a guy like Chisholm too, that you know, with that kind of quality that you could have beyond this year. So, you know, I think those type of depth issues and playing time issues, you know, when you work those out over the winter and into next year, you can always move a guy, you know, this winter if need be. So, but I think there's no doubt that Kelenic's, you know, kind of finally playing to what the, you know, the prospect and some of the reputations were with him coming up. He's starting to figure it out. And he's figured it out there in Atlanta. I've talked to the Mariners a lot. They aren't happy with the fact that Kelenic's doing it there in Atlanta. But he wasn't going to do it in Seattle. You know, there was, you know, some reasons behind the scenes and some of the offensive things that he was asked to do that he wasn't maybe necessarily doing there in Seattle that he is now in Atlanta. So there's a lot of factors that come into play here. They did a nice job, though, with Kelenic. And, you know, he's a guy that you can count on, I think, long-term, too.
Jim, I want to ask you real quick. Have you ever heard of a prospect, not a prospect, excuse me, but a player under team control like Garrett Crochet saying, you know what, you can trade me, but if you trade for me, you better give me a contract or I'm not pitching right in the postseason. Crazy. You ever heard anything like that? I don't recall that ever.
No, I mean, that's rare. Here's the only comparison I can give is Josh Hader with the Brewers. By the way, same agency that represents Hader and Garrett Crochet. Hader, when he was beaten in arbitration that winter, he went to the Brewers and he said, listen, I'm going to look out for my best interest. I'm going to dictate how you are able to use me. You can't use me more than 2 days in a row. You can't use me for more than three outs on a safe situation. And Craig Counsell, by the way, as their manager during that period of time, he handled it very well. You really didn't hear much about it. But then he gets traded to San Diego, and then it became an issue because Bob Melvin's like, what the heck are these rules? I don't understand what these rules are. And so, you know, Hader at least had some skin in the game, you know, but, you know, Crochet hasn't. He hasn't been on the scene that long. So I don't think that's going to go over too well. I think that's the reason why he's still with the White Sox, too, by the way.
He is Jim Duquette, and he is on MLB Network, and he is one of the best in the business. Jim, thanks for hanging out with us this morning, buddy.
All right, guys. All right, thanks for having me. See ya.
That's going to do it for us here on the morning shift. Bo and I are going to point this rig back north and head up 85 back to Flowery Branch. Check a little bit of that practice. You won't want to miss tomorrow's.
Yes, it is a lovely morning, isn't it?
More of the morning shift
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
.842 here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You're listening to the morning shift. Mikey P. Johnson and Squid Billy Bo Morgan hanging out with you on this Wednesday. No, we are not live from Flowery Branch. We are in the Midtown studio. We had to have a hard pivot this morning. Hard pivot this morning.
Pivot.
Yeah, away from Flowery Branch, but we're happy to be hanging out with you. Look, we've been talking a lot of Falcons all day, sprinkling in a little bit of the Atlanta Braves. So the trade deadline was yesterday, and that's why we are excited to have on our good buddy Jim Duquette from the MLB Network, former GM of the New York Mets. Jim, look, man, thanks for joining us. Let's start with just a broad reaction because, honestly, one of the busier trade deadlines that I think we've seen in some time.
Yeah, it was. Thanks for having me on again, guys. I think it was 28 total trades just yesterday, you know, and, wow. And while it maybe didn't have necessarily the quality of players move that we thought, you know, Tarek Skubal with the Tigers didn't get moved, Garrett Crochet with the White Sox, some of the top guys that were being talked about, like Blake Snell didn't get traded, but there was a ton of action, you know, around it. The prices is what I think I talked to several general managers and they were like, man, it was expensive shopping, you know, at some of maybe the lower priced rental starters that you wouldn't normally expect, like you say Kikuchi in Toronto. The Astros gave up three major leaguers. I think that really took a lot of general managers by surprise.
Well, Jim, when we spoke to you last, you and I came to the decision that what we needed to get in Atlanta was a corner outfielder, maybe another bullpen guy, and maybe starting pitching at the end. But they did that, but I don't think they were really the moves that I expected anyways. Were you surprised that Alex Anthopoulos decided to go back to the well with Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson?
I would say a little bit surprised. You know, it's interesting because, you know, that does not happen very often. And, you know, you go back to the it worked the last time. So, you know, and you know those guys and you know they're going to fit within the clubhouse there, which, you know, I think Alex does a terrific job of making sure that, you know, that's an important thing. Some GMs don't. But he, you know, character, makeup, chemistry, that matters in, you know, in all this too. So, you know, I thought when it was all said and done, if you go and look at a lot of the different power hitters that were available, Solaris might have been the best one. So they got the best one there. You know, Jackson, in terms of they don't need a back end necessarily. Well, they don't need a closer, you know, and I think a depth piece in that, you know, seventh and eighth inning, I think, was, you know, a perfect fit. The prices for other guys was so high that I thought that, you know, it was a modest gain in the bullpen area there for the Braves, but it was a quality one because you know how to use Jackson in those important roles.
Yeah, and listen, I think that everybody is excited to have Jorge Soler back in the fold because of what he did a couple of years ago. I do wish that the Braves had made another move, but I want to ask you, and at least in your own personal experience, Jim, when you come down to the deadline, how hard is it to make the decision between being buyers and being sellers, or just being a team that kind of sits in the middle and waits for an opportunity to become? Because the Braves, while they are good, they have a lot of question marks, and I just wonder what Alex Anthopoulos' kind of thought process has been lately.
Yeah, well, I think that you know, they're a team that – you know, it hasn't performed up to the expectation. So there's a level of this that I think has to come from within, right? The guys that have underachieved to this point, obviously injuries play a role in that too. And some of these guys are hopefully going to come back from the injuries. But I think that, you know, they're clearly a postseason team or should be a postseason team. It'd be it'd be big news if they fall out of it. And so, you know, I think that's the difficult part. If you're in his shoes, is like, you know, it's a pretty well fleshed out roster that you don't normally have to, you know, make a lot of additions to, or shouldn't have to. You know, I think you're really relying on those guys and what they've done in the past for you. So there's a little bit of balance there is my point. You know, you could bring in other guys, but how much are they going to play over the regulars? How much should they play? It becomes one of those type things. It's, you know, the guy that you know sometimes is better than the guy that you're bringing in.
Well, I am curious too, and I want to follow up on that a little bit because we've seen Alex Anthopoulos not only go back to the well once or twice, but a handful of times. When you talk about Luke Jackson and Jorge Soler, but not only that, you added Eddie Rosario after he got let go on waivers. You signed Duvall during training camp when you didn't think he'd be a part of this team. I mean, is there a point where Alex Anthopoulos is just going with a level of comfortability and guys that he knows not going to cost a ton?
Well, there is probably some of that too. I think the cost, you know, acquisitions, whether it's money or whether it's, you know, your assets, and, you know, the Braves do a great job of adding guys from their system, but, you know, even that's been taxed a little bit here lately. You know, I think that's a big part of this, is how much do you want to spend in terms of your prospects for kind of that short-term rental gain, right? That I think most GMs, when I talk to them around the sport, the quality was lacking. You were being asked to give up. And if you look around the sport, by the way, too, there's no real top 100 prospects that were traded. And I think that was more a function of the quality that was available at the deadline. So, you know, part of that is, all right, what can you get for, you know, for the prices that are out there being asked, and, you know, how much of a significant difference can they make? So I think that's where Alex and some of the other kind of GMs, you know, it's hard to show discipline at the deadline when you're not playing up to expectation, but I didn't see, outside of Soler, I didn't think there was an impactful guy out there. I mean, Jazz Chisholm is another guy. He may have fit there with Atlanta too. Those were the two, I think, top position players that got moved. And so, you know, Atlanta got one of them.
Jim Duquette, MLB analyst, joining us here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Jim, I want to ask you kind of the projection is that Alex said yesterday, look, Soler is under contract for two more years, and it seems like it's going to be a crowded outfield. But Alex talked about the depth and saying, look, we have no problem having a depth piece. Is that move a move that's easier made because Acuna is coming back from injury? You know that he is going to need days off, but also team control and how the contract is somewhat cheap with Jared Kelnick as well?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think, you know, I talk about balance a lot, you know, especially with them. You know, I think, you know, trying to find that offensive piece sometimes is difficult on the free agent market. So, yeah, they went and got one here at the trade market. It's not just he helps you this year. He helps you beyond this. There wasn't a lot of guys that you could control besides a guy like Chisholm too, that, you know, with that kind of quality that you could have beyond this year. So, you know, I think those type of depth issues and playing time issues, you know, when you work those out over the winter and into next year, you can always move a guy, you know, this winter if need be. So, but I think there's no doubt that Kelenic's, you know, kind of finally playing to what the, you know, the prospect and some of the reputations were with him coming up. He's starting to figure it out. And he's figured it out there in Atlanta. I've talked to the Mariners a lot. They aren't happy with the fact that Kelenic's doing it there in Atlanta, but he wasn't going to do it in Seattle. You know, there was, you know, some reasons behind the scenes and some of the offensive things that he was asked to do that he wasn't maybe necessarily doing there in Seattle that he is now in Atlanta. So there's a lot of factors that come into play here. They did a nice job, though, with Kelenic. And, you know, he's a guy that you can count on, I think, long-term, too.
Jim, I want to ask you real quick. Have you ever heard of a prospect – not a prospect, excuse me, but a player under team control like Garrett Crochet saying, you know what, you can trade me, but if you trade for me, you better give me a contract or I'm not pitching right in the postseason. Crazy. You ever heard anything like that? I don't recall that ever.
No, I mean, that's rare. Here's the only comparison I can give is Josh Hader with the Brewers. By the way, same agency that represents Hader and Garrett Crochet. Hader, when he was beaten in arbitration that winter, he went to the Brewers. He said, listen, I'm going to look out for my best interest. I'm going to dictate how you are able to use me. You can't use me more than 2 days in a row. You can't use me for more than three outs on a safe situation. And Craig Counsell, by the way, as their manager during that period of time, he handled it very well. You really didn't hear much about it. But then he gets traded to San Diego, and then it became an issue because Bob Melvin's like, what the heck are these rules? I don't understand what these rules are. and so, you know, Hader at least had some skin in the game. You know, but, you know, Crochet hasn't. He hasn't been on the scene that long. So I don't think that's going to go over too well. I think that's the reason why he's still with the White Sox, too, by the way.
He is Jim Duquette, and he is on MLB Network, and he is one of the best in the business. Jim, thanks for hanging out with us this morning, buddy.
All right, guys. All right, thanks for having me. See ya.
That's going to do it for us here on the morning shift. Bo and I are going to point this rig back north and head up 85 back to Flowery Branch. Check a little bit of that practice. You won't want to miss tomorrow's show. We got some action planned for you. We'll have Maria Martin back as well. Steakhouse is next. Make sure you
stay cool, Atlanta.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.